Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
We'll talk about the Warriors' Christmas Day win over the Cavs, their 9-1 record heading into Friday night's game without Steph Curry, and he's expected to be back on Saturday. We'll hear from head coach Steve Kerr, all coming up, but first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, hope you had a great Christmas. I know I did, and it was really a lot of fun watching the Warriors on Christmas Day in that game against the Cavaliers. It really lived up to the expectations, I thought, even though you didn't have Steph Curry out there. I mean, that would have made it, you know, even more fun, or maybe Isaiah Thomas, maybe more fun, but it was just thrilling. I mean, up and down action, both teams were playing really hard. It had the atmosphere of a playoff game, really, didn't you think?
I thought it did. It was a little disjointed there in the first half, but I thought, late in the game, some really good action. And you had a great defensive effort in that game. We talked last week about the blocks and the rim protection, and that continued. And Kevin Durant was great. And, they held Cleveland to, 31% from the floor. Even without Steph Curry, they're able to get it done, and that has been the key without Curry, because they're not playing with the pace that they were before, and that game against the Cavaliers was indicative of that. But their defensive rating has gone up since Curry has been out. I don't think it's, well, Curry doesn't play defense, so they're playing. I think the focus has just been there. They understand, in these games where the pace isn't there, but they don't have as many possessions, they've got to make sure that they get their money's worth on the defensive end, and they've certainly done that. And here's Draymond talking about how it really isn't even a race now, that he thinks Kevin Durant is the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear him say that, because that's really being unselfish, because you would think he'd want to win that award year after year. But I mean, he's right. He's just pointing out that Durant's having an amazing defensive season, the way he's blocking shots, the way he's covering the best player on the other team at times, many times, and he's just moving so well. Seems very motivated on defense.
He seems very motivated, and I think that as his career has gone along, he's really gotten the knack of blocking shots and understanding how good he can be on a help defense. But you also got to remember, when he was at OKC, he had Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka, right? So he had Ibaka back there blocking right. shots, leading the league right now. And Durant leading the league now. So he's in a situation here where he's not waiting for, the back end to protect the rim, and he's taking another defensive assignment. And he's being a small ball power forward now, and I think that's given him a little more free rein defensively. And, on this team, it's almost contagious, isn't it, with all the shot blockers you have? So,
oh, yeah.
So there's that going on as well. It really is something to watch. I agree with Draymond, by the way. I think he is the defensive player of the year, which makes it all the more remarkable when you see what he gives at the offensive end. And, by the way, MVP candidate as well, serious MVP candidate. And we were talking about it a couple weeks ago. Is KD better than LeBron? I think he is right now, and LeBron is great. And Cleveland's going to be right there because of LeBron. He's always going to give him a puncher's chance. But right now, KD is playing at such a high level. And he's, taken over both ends of the floor offensively, of course, with Steph not in there. It's been great to watch. And again, for the 28th time, this is one of the reasons they got KD. They have an elite scorer on the floor, even when Steph Curry's been out, for 10 or 11 games. But, of course, it looks like Steph's coming back this weekend.
Yeah, he is, supposedly on Saturday. And by the way, you mentioned the Warriors playing defense without Curry. Let's hear what head coach Steve Kerr had to say about that. Defense without Curry.
It'll be a little different. I mean, Steph is a very good defender. I think what's been different is we've been able to consistently put a whole bunch of 6-7 guys out there. So when we do switch, you know, there's not a height disadvantage. But we've missed Steph's ability to play the passing lanes, put pressure on the ball, cause some havoc with his speed and quickness. So it'll be a little different. But I think that the attention to detail defensively has been good, in part because we knew without Steph we weren't going to have that explosiveness game in and game out.
So there you go. I mean, they did miss him, like you said, you know, clogging up the lanes and everything. But yeah, everybody did pick it up both sides of the ball. I thought, Ray, with Steph being out, I mean, they won 9 out of the 10 games so far. So if he misses one more, I mean, it didn't kill them like maybe some people thought. They'd lose some more games here and there. But they picked it up on both ends of the floor, defense and offense.
Yeah, and on offense, again, they're not playing with the pace. So not as many opportunities. Where do you get the opportunities? You get them from block shots, steals, rebounds on the defensive end, and you can create transition points that way. When you don't have Steph to do what he does, not only in transition but in the half-court set, you want to get points any way you can, and that's one of the ways you do it, by getting turnovers, by getting the ball off the rebound, and things like that. So I think they understood that. And that's where their focus has been. I will say, I mean, as well as KD picking up the pace offensively, that last couple of games, Patrick McCaw has started to show up. And, you know, it's kind of been in and out for him. And with all the depth they have, you know, somebody's going to fall back. Somebody's going to step up. McCaw is, you know, in his second year, and as Steve Kerr has mentioned, he's pretty young still. And so when you're in your second year in the league, and you played only a couple of years in college, you're still developing. And I think he's in that phase now where he's still developing. You're going to have ups and downs. You're trying to figure out, you know, where you fit in the offense. You're getting encouragement from teammates, including some elite scorers. Hey, when the shot's there, take it. And I think he's finally taking that to heart, and I think he's put up 20 shots in the last two games, which is way above the pace he's had this year. Now, when Steph comes back, I don't know what that's going to mean for him, aside from, you know, less playing time and maybe fewer opportunities. But at least he's taken advantage of the opportunity now, and that goes back to the depth. And, you know, again, Jordan Bell stepping up as he has when Zaza Pachulia is out. And they aren't missing much there. In fact, gaining in some ways defensively. This team, when they get all together and are healthy, and assuming they fire on all cylinders later on this year, they're going to be scary.
They really are. I mean, there was a sequence there, Ray, where Jordan Bell passed to Patrick McCaw, and he drove to the basket, something maybe he might not have done before. But, you know, it was just an opening that is there because you have all these other scorers on the floor. And he took advantage, went right to the basket, laid it in. And you know, you saw the two young players together with a lot of confidence. And I think it means a lot what you said about them getting encouragement from the veterans, encouragement to be aggressive, you know, for McCaw to shoot more, maybe to drive more, and for Bell, you know, to getting the playing time and to keep doing what he's doing. But, you know, when he makes a mistake, you could see right away a Draymond Green or a Kevin Durant pulls him aside right there on the court, right in the middle of the game, says, hey, you could do this instead. And he's such a good listener. You could tell, you know, he's attentive to it. He's not thinking, oh, I know what I'm doing. You know, he's really learning from these guys.
He is, and, you know, you got a coach on the floor there with Draymond for sure, as well as KD. And, you know, he's got a little swagger to him. That's what I like. He's got a little swagger, but it's not to the point where, hey, I know what I'm doing, don't bother me. He definitely is in that learning phase. You know, there will be games where they're going to need him. The matchup is going to be there that's advantageous. Steve Kerr made it clear he's going to start Zaza. That Zaza brings some things to the table that they like, that they're missing, for example, his screen-setting ability. But with Jordan Bell, the athleticism, you know, it's off the scales. And again, yet another guy who can guard multiple positions and is learning how not to draw a foul and how to go up straight for the block. Man, I mean, I've said it a couple of times. I don't know if he's the steal of the draft, but he's certainly a steal. I think Kuzma is a steal for the Lakers as late as they picked him, but Jordan Bell is right there. So Yeah, the depth all the way around. When somebody goes down, somebody steps up and gets some playing time. I wonder, Joe, and we've seen some articles about this, what this is going to mean long-term for JaVale McGee, if he's a guy who's going to be dealt before the deadline.
Could be. I mean, because it's almost like you don't need him anymore. I mean, you know, Bell's filling all of those different roles.
Yep.
You know, McGee was the guy that you had down low, a lot of those lobs, and now it's Bell. I mean, Bell's just above the rim constantly. He just looks like he never gets tired of jumping. You know, that's the thing. Usually, you know, your legs will give out a little bit. You ran up and down the floor. You're not going to really go for this block here or maybe not get as high over there. But he is always above the rim, always jumping. He's just, you know, the Energizer Bunny out there.
Yeah. I remember way back in the day, he was covering the NBA in the 80s. And, damn, I wish I could remember the player. But he was talking about how they were facing a younger team. It might have been the Houston Rockets. And he said, young legs win, man. Young legs win, you know, and by and large, that is true. There, although veteran players can take advantage of the eagerness of young defenders and get them up in the air, but he's what, just out of college, 21 years old or so, just springy as hell, and he's really been one of my favorite players to watch this year and see him develop. And yeah, maybe it makes JaVale's skill set repetitive at this point. I imagine, you know, what Steve Kerr is telling JaVale is we're going to need you down the road. And an example, you know, in another position is look at a guy like McCaw. He was kind of by the wayside for a while. Now he's stepped up in Curry's absence. You know, somebody may get hurt down the road and they're going to need JaVale. But all things being equal, I think they would rather see if they can open up a spot for another scorer or ball handler off the bench for that second unit to improve that offense and ride with Jordan Bell and Pachulia and David West and sometimes Draymond at center.
Dubs OT continues right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
You know, going back to that Christmas game against the Cavs, I wish there were more regular season games like that. I mean, I know you can't have that kind of theater all the time, but
right.
it seemed like the officials were really on board, too. They let them play more. I mean, there was some complaining. You know, I know LeBron was really unhappy with that one defensive play by Durant where he kind of reached across, but I like it. I like the way it was called. It was more like a playoff game. It was a lot more fun.
It was fun. You know, there are some calls that were let go in the last couple of minutes, and the NBA came out with its referees report on calls that were missed in the final 2 minutes. And I know that LeBron felt like he didn't get the whistle there on that one call, but a few seconds earlier, that two-minute report said that he got away with a foul, too. So, you know, it works on both ends of the floor. Like Draymond, I'm a little skeptical of the two-minute reports anyway. It's like, do they make you feel any better? You know, maybe they make you feel worse. It's like, yeah, we did blow that call.
Right.
Oh, thanks. Okay. You know, I mean.
Yeah, the game's over.
I guess in the interest of transparency, you do that. But, you know, just the last 2 minutes as well. It's like the other 46 minutes don't matter. What about that egregious traveling call that you missed in the second quarter? You know, that was part of a 10-0 run. And I'm sure Steve Kerr would probably be thinking about that because that drives him crazy that they don't call it traveling. But, yeah, they did let him go some, that's for sure. And so, you know, you could say Kevin Durant got away with one. Kevin Durant felt like it was clean, that he got a clean block on it. You know, that's the NBA, man. So some of these are borderline calls. Some of them are pretty clear calls that get missed. You know, Joe, they say it evens out. Who knows? I don't know if it evens out or not. For some teams, it probably doesn't. It can't be exactly 50-50,
no,
right?
No, I don't think it does most of the time.
Yeah. So I think what you have to fall back on is sometimes life's not fair. Yeah, that's it.
Well, also, it's really good to have a deep team like the Warriors do. I mean, I don't know. You've watched the NBA a long time, Ray. I can't recall too many teams that are this deep that I could afford to have a Steph Curry be out and not only not lose a step, actually play, you know, better to win 9 out of 10 games. You know, that's 900 basketball where they're playing 800 basketball on the year. By the way, best team in the NBA right now. But I'm still a little bit surprised that they were able to pull that off, that, you know, guys like we already mentioned, like McCaw and Bell and even Andre Iguodala, like he steps up when he needs to. He may not play a lot of minutes when Curry's around, but when Curry went down, Iguodala came up big in a lot of these games down the stretch.
Well, yeah, and it comes and goes with him at this point in his career. I think we all know that. But on games where he's fresh, well, there was a drive right down the middle for a slam dunk that reminded me of Game 5.
That was awesome, yeah.
And it ignited the team and the crowd at that point. You know, he still has that reserve there, you know, even at a somewhat advanced age in the NBA. So there'll be times where he can't answer the bell because you got a lot of games crunched together and you really got to manage his minutes. But when he's fresh, he's still very, very effective off the bench with that second unit. And again, bringing that defensive presence. Offensively, they haven't played better, although, you know, the game against Utah, they looked more like themselves. But there's no question that when he gets back, they'll be way more dynamic offensively. But they're able to compensate with that, with the different skill set that these players bring. Like you say, the depth. So they become a different type of team, and we've seen that, but still effective. And you get through this down period, and you can do that for a fairly short period of time, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. You don't want to do it for a couple of months if you can avoid it. But again, with the depth they have, for example, missing Durant last year as long as they did, well, they got through it, didn't they? So, you hope that they avoid the injury bug and they go healthy for the next few months and we see the real, you know, 100% Warriors. But, you know, the 90% Warriors is still pretty damn good.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation right after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
Well, with Steph Curry coming back this weekend, looks like Saturday, because Steve Kerr said he didn't want to play in back-to-back games, so it would be Saturday against Memphis. You know, you think about the team chemistry. Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say about what Steph Curry means for the Warriors' team chemistry.
I think Steph sets the whole tone for who we are, our identity as a franchise, as a team. We talk about joy all the time. Nobody plays with more joy than Steph Curry. And the fact that he's so unselfish, both as a player just and as a human being, and he's so giving. When your best player has those attributes, it's amazing the tone it sets. I've said it many times, but it reminds me of playing with Tim Duncan in San Antonio, where his personality, the force of his humility and talent, which is a rare combination, but the force of that combination was just tone-setting for almost 2 decades for San Antonio, and Steph's doing the same thing for us.
All right, Steve Kerr talking about Steph Curry. Yeah, Steph always seems like he's having fun. It's rare where, you know, he's just an angry guy out there. It just seems like he's enjoying the game so much.
I'd have a lot of fun if I was that good, too.
Right.
I'd be having a blast. Now, there are players that look joyless out there, like James Harden. You know, he's got the poker face. I'm sure he's having a blast. He just, you know, that's kind of the image that he projects. But I think that you see it with this team. And Steve Kerr said it in a couple of games during the time Curry was out. They were not playing with that joy. But, you know, it's hard to play with the same joy level for 82 games, especially when you know you've got 15 or 20 going after that as well, probably in the postseason, and you've done that 3 years in a row. It's hard to ratchet it up every single time. But it's important to emphasize that word because it is so important for the Warriors. Now, with this team, with this veteran group, I think they understand what he's talking about. I think a coach, after a period of time, has to be careful, you know, about the same catchphrases and words because players will roll their eyes. I think of Jim Harbaugh after a few years of who's got it better than us? Nobody. I'm sure players were just rolling their eyes at that.
Right.
I don't think there's anything like that with Steve Kerr, but I think, and that is an important word to him. But you can't just sit there and say, all right, let's play with joy now. Let's be happy. You know, things have to happen in the flow of the game in order to fuel that joy, right?
Right.
And they weren't happening in the same level because you didn't have that type of player, Steph Curry, on the floor. I think, you know, that's the word. I think you'll see that come back now, that sense of joy with Curry on the floor, because it is infectious with him.
I don't know if you saw that clip on Twitter. I gave it a like. There was a clip where Steph Curry was behind Bob Fitzgerald while he was doing it on camera, and he's just like, you know, moving his head around, and then he's kind of mocking Fitz, which was funny. I mean, he's just like, you know, like blah blah blah, and that's the kind of thing, you know, that Steph does. Like, other guys don't find time to have that kind of you know, joy, whether it be on the floor during a game or before a game like that.
You know, I have friends I've known for a long time, and I went to a party for one of them. I think it was a birthday party. And I had no idea she was much of a basketball fan. And she was talking to me about, you know, covering Warriors games and so forth. And she just said, "Don't you mess with my Steph Curry." So I was like, wow, I didn't know you were paying that much attention. But, you know, that's a casual fan. And they have latched on to the most, you know, joyful player on the team, the one with the biggest personality in a lot of ways. So that just shows you the impact this guy has. And I imagine it's the same on that team as well. I mean, it's not just that he is so good in what he does on the floor, but what he brings in practice and on the road trips and whatever.
Yeah, just a great guy to emulate. You know, Mark Jackson brought up something, you know, what was that, a couple of years ago now, where he was talking about how kids shouldn't emulate Curry because they can't do what he does. But I disagree on that one. I mean, you still should strive to do some of those magical things that he does. I mean, if you practice enough, you know, the way he dribbles, that came from a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, work hard at that skill set. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you won't be as good as him, but you'll probably be a lot more skilled if you continue at that work ethic than if you know, you just tried to play a basic basketball game. There's nothing wrong with that either. But I think that's the main thing, is a lot of these kids understand that Steph works a lot and has worked a lot and on very specific drills and very creative drills to get to this point in his, you know, ability to ball handle and get himself open on shots, as well as the passing and so forth. And it comes back to that word joy. And that's why, you know, players like that are so great for the league. It's fun. And anybody around the world can almost anybody can get a basketball, find a hoop somewhere and play and try to emulate that. And that's why the game is growing so much with players like Steph Curry. I think around the league, there's some skepticism about Steph, and you see that like in the Players' Choice Award and things like that. There's that element that thinks he's, you know, too much of a goody-goody guy or whatever. I don't care about that. I look at the way the kids respond to him, and that's where it's at with this league.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week. Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
As we finish up, with Steph back in the lineup, the Warriors will have a lot of road games in the month of January, and there's a few on the schedule that you really point to, a couple at Houston on the 4th and the 20th, and there's a game at Cleveland on the 15th, and these are all nationally televised games, so I'm sure the Warriors will get up a lot for those games. It's going to be a matter of sort of getting up for the other games in between, but it's going to be fun to see those matchups.
Well, the timing is good here with Steph coming back and hopefully at full speed by the time they get to Houston on January 4th. You know, they've had this long stretch of games that, against the weaker opponents and a lot of them at home, for example, Charlotte and Memphis this weekend. But it's going to be a lot tougher next month. That's going to be a real good test for them. So it's great that they have stepped back and be pretty much at full strength. I've been circling that January 4th game at Houston for a while. There's going to be a lot of hype about that one. A little odd that they go back there 2 weeks later or 16 days later. And then, of course, the game at Cleveland and, you know, a little bit of revenge factor there maybe. So it's going to be turned up in January. The NBA is going to take center stage without a doubt. And I think you're going to see Warriors in a few Saturday games, those great Saturday night games coming up. It's going to be a great showcase for the NBA. So, you know, something to keep you warm in the cold month of January. There's going to be some pretty good action coming up, and I'm really looking forward to those games against Houston and Cleveland as well as a few others.
Well, Ray, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everybody listening to our podcast here. Be safe for sure, because it could be a very dangerous New Year's Eve, of course.
Yeah. Don't do anything unnecessary.
Exactly.
Yeah, like anybody's going to listen to me. But, Happy New Year, everyone. And, Happy New Year to everybody who listens to our podcast. We really appreciate it. Our sponsors as well. And we'll keep it going in the new year.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.